Seeking the Lord's blessing, let's turn together to the passage read in Luke's Gospel in chapter 13. And we can read again verses 23 and 24. Luke chapter 13, we'll read verses 23 and 24, but we'll take our text from verse 24. Someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. We come here, as you'll notice, we've read again in Luke chapter 13, we've read again verse 23, where we have a question that is put to Jesus. And we find often that there are questions that are put to Jesus. Just like today, we find that there are many questions asked with respect to the Christian faith. And it's important for us to ask questions that are genuine and legitimate, and for us to get a better comprehension and understanding of salvation. The questions that are legitimate and sincere with respect to the Christian faith are the most important questions of our lives, especially when we come to reflect on their personal application. It is such a question as this that we find that Jesus himself responding to often, real questions that are asking about the way of salvation. We're going to look with some criticism, really, with regards to verse 23, but when we're looking at our own situation, and when we're coming to the Lord in this way, we really are asking about the quest of our desire to enter into heaven, of what it means to enter into the kingdom of God, and especially how we can do this. It becomes the most pressing and most urgent of all the questions, because what is at stake is the most valuable and important aspect that we have and of what we are, the greatest possession, our eternal possession, the preciousness of our own soul. When we come to the gospel, we find Jesus addressing this question time and again. And he insists that this ought to be the chief priority of our lives, to get an answer for this question. Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all other things will be added to us. Our misjudgment there is often that we seek everything else and leave the kingdom to last. But Jesus insists that this is of the highest priority. And he also states to us that the kingdom of God is more valuable than anything else. In fact, even a combination of everything does not compare to the kingdom of God and the salvation of our souls. He states that what would it profit us if we were to gain the whole world and lose our soul? And therefore, he is implying that we would be at a loss. And taking these things into account, and taking the questions that so often come to Jesus, and the questions that are on our own hearts, then we're coming to ask here, how is it we enter into the kingdom of God? With all the different encouragements that we are given therein, the invitations that we have, that we're being asked to respond in that manner, and in that way, with that urgency and the reality of the pressing need. And we need to realize that we cannot postpone this. But sometimes as we hear all these things, we need help. Sometimes we do have questions. Sometimes our quest is not that easy. And sometimes we're at different stages of our asking and seeking. The Lord here teaches something with respect to the way of salvation. He teaches here something with respect to the way we enter the kingdom of God. And I want us to examine this, especially in the first part of verse 24, and to see, first of all, that the door is the way in. As we're asking, How do we enter the kingdom of God? Jesus is telling us the door is the way in. In verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. The door is the way we came in here today. The door is the way we enter our homes. The door is that access point in which we are able to go into the place we want to be. Jesus uses this metaphor for our entrance into the kingdom of God. In the very similar metaphor he uses in Matthew's gospel, which we'll turn again to in a moment, but he says there within the context of the Sermon on the Mount, enter by the narrow gate. And so he uses this language of a door or a gate that is a very familiar image to us, but it is a familiar image within the gospel too, to tell us the entrance point into salvation, how we come into the kingdom of God. And he follows through with this metaphor in verse 25. He says there's a master of a house, and he shuts the door, and he locks the door. And that's the picture of somebody at the end of the night who locks the door. Once the door is shut, it is shut. And so too with that picture in Matthew chapter 7. He speaks of the narrow gate that leads into a narrow way. And this is where we are to come to, that narrow way. The desire to come into the Father's house. The picture there of the way and the home being the place of salvation and speaking to us of the kingdom life. And in that narrow gate that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7, and then the narrow way, he is telling us of the road of salvation, that the kingdom life is like a road. It's something we travel on. In fact, life generally is seen in that way and in that manner, that we are on a road in our lives. We know that metaphor. But the reality of the way that we live our lives is that if it is a road, there is an end point. There is a destination. The road, the way we live, it's taking us somewhere. It's taking us to a place. And how we live, how we travel through this life is dictating the destination. It's telling us where we are going. Jesus himself is traveling also. And his immediate destination is Jerusalem, verse 22. And he is pictured here as going through the villages and towns. And so he is teaching this as he is amongst people in verse 24, strive to enter the narrow door. But he himself is on this other journey, this journey for our redemption, to secure our salvation. And he speaks in this manner in verse 33 and 34. He is declaring to the people that this is where he is going. And in this, he is telling us that the way is through his death. The way into the kingdom is through his death. And as he is going about villages and towns, he is engaged in his public ministry, and he is teaching people. He is interacting with all kinds of different people, the inhabitants, the citizens of the towns, the people who live in the villages, the people who are on the way, the people who he meets with in the crowds. He's involved with them. He's engaged with them. He is demonstrating miracles in front of them, or even sometimes to them. As he journeys in this way, he is teaching the people, and there is often dialogue, and sometimes there are questions, and often there are interruptions. Here is an interruption. Verse 23. Someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? This is a controversial question. It's a controversial question still today. And it's a controversial question to us also. Maybe we have different opinions of this. But I'm afraid the evidence seems to suggest that this was not a genuine concern. That this man is driven by a different kind of motive than what is a sincere asking of the way an entrance into the kingdom of God. But Jesus uses this interruption to speak in this way. We see that it is not a genuine concern by a couple of evidences we have here. Jesus does not give a direct response. He does not answer in the way the man expects him. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Jesus doesn't directly answer this. He is not saying yes or no. Rather, he is giving a more pressing response. To that question, he says, strive to enter the door, the narrow door. And also, he does not respond directly to the individual. In verse 23, someone said. In verse 23, at the end, he said to them. The man is interrupting him, bringing this question, and Jesus turns the crowd. And he's asking them, in amongst this great crowd, and in contrast to this man stirring up controversy, in this insincere question, he is looking to the crowd amongst the villages and towns, and he's asking, is anyone really interested? Does anyone really want to be saved? Is anybody here really wanting to enter the kingdom of God? And he speaks in this manner because maybe someone does. In verse 24, there is a reference. Many, I tell you, will not be able to. And so in Matthew 7, Jesus made a contrast between the narrow way and the broad way. And he says to them, the many are on the broad way. The broad way is wide enough to accommodate them all their different lives, all their different ways of living, the direction of travel they are going. There are many who will not find the way of salvation. And he looks upon a crowd and he's asking, are there any here? But he's doing more than that. He is bringing forth an invitation. And he is declaring to them, the door is open. The door is open. And salvation is like this open door. And Jesus is bidding them to come. He is declaring to them that there is a welcome into the kingdom of God. He is placing this compulsion upon them to come and enter into this kingdom. And they may be asking themselves, like you may be asking yourself, how do I get in? How do I become part of the kingdom of God? How do I be saved? How will I get into heaven? How do I become a Christian? And Jesus is saying to us, there is a door. This is how you get in. There is a narrow door, but it's open. It is the access point into the kingdom of God. And bringing all of this into the context of his journey to Jerusalem, he is declaring to them, he is the door. He is the way in. And what effects our salvation is his very death and our faith in his atoning death. And he's asking us, are we going to come in? Do we want to be part of this kingdom? Do we want to be saved? He says the door is narrow. It's a limited opportunity. But this is the door. This is the very door. And the gospel invitation is declaring to you and me today to come in, to enter. The door is the way in, it's the entrance point. Secondly, the door is narrow. You'll notice this in verse 24. Enter through the narrow door. And so Jesus declares, as we've noted already in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount, he uses the same metaphor, this time of a gate. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Those who find it are few. Are we going to be of the few? Are we going to be of the people who enter in? He says the door is narrow, it's not a wide door. Today, often in a new building, you install wide doors to be able to ensure that everybody is able to get in. Anybody with any mobility issues, they can get in through the wide door. But Jesus says that the door to salvation, it's a narrow door, it's a small opening. And he is also declaring, as he goes on to speak in verse 25, that it is for a limited time. Therefore, speaking to us of the urgency of our consideration and the urgency of the need of our soul. And he says there's a door here, a narrow door that's open, and you must find it. You must enter in. Jesus is teaching us not to miss out. He says in verse 25, the master, he rises and he shuts the door and he locks the door. They're outside and they're saying, open to us, but he can't open the door because it's nighttime. And at the end of the night, we go round and we lock the doors. We make sure that there is safety and security. And here is the nighttime coming. And the urgency of the invitation, that the call of the gospel is for a limited time, and calls us to recognize the seriousness of the invitation and the preciousness of our soul. The night is coming, the end is near. The end of the invitation. And Jesus is saying, you can't leave this till it's too late. If you're there in the nighttime when the door is locked, you'll be saying, open to us, and you'll get the response, I don't know where you came from. You didn't come at the right time. You didn't come when it was light. You didn't come when it was a gospel day, when the invitation came in power and grace. It brings us back to the question in verse 23. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Here is a man who thought it was okay. Here is a man who thought he was okay, but what about everybody else? Here is a man who asked a question of self-indulgence instead of self-examination. We're called to more. We're called to realize the urgency. We're called to realize the self-examination. We're called to recognize that we need to know this Savior. We need to enter in this way. And so he speaks in this manner, in this way. When he gives this parabolic teaching in verse 25, the master of the house locking the door, and then the people saying in verse 26, we ate and drank with you. We heard you teach in our streets. We know you. We heard about you. We've got some kind of affiliation with you. We know about you, Jesus. We know about your gospel. And they are like this man who thought that was enough. That it would be okay. That some kind of connection would be enough. Even some loose connection. A loose connection to the gospel. A loose connection to the knowledge and presence of Jesus. A loose connection to the teaching of the gospel. A loose connection to the church. Thinking that was enough. And Jesus is saying in verse 27, depart from me. That's not enough. That's not enough. That you must be born again. That this is the demand of entering into this door. This door is the demand that we are born again, that our lives change, that we enter through the kingdom in that way. Unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Is that not what the most famous chapter in the whole Bible teaches us in John chapter 3? You must be born again. Even here in verse 3, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is demanding that this narrow door is the image of faith and repentance, of trusting in Christ, of having a saving faith, not a loose affiliation with Jesus, but that we believe and trust in him. That he tells us this is narrow. This is small. You cannot enter as part of a crowd. It's personal. You have to come yourself. Not on the back of someone else. Not of a parent or a friend or a husband or a wife or a child or a brother or a sister. You must come. You must enter this door. You must go through this small opening. You must come here. Must leave the crowd behind. Is that not sometimes our biggest problem? What will they say of us? Are we going to stick out? Is this not so often so much of the way that we live our lives? We'll just go along with everybody else. Won't let anyone notice us. We'll just go with the crowd. This is how our culture operates. That there is this kind of mentality that everybody has to follow the same route and tolerate all kinds of things. It's the broadness of the broad way. And leads to eternal destruction. This is what Jesus is saying in verse 28. The place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Faith places us at variance with the majority. The majority are on a broad road, but we're called to go down this narrow way, a narrow way of exclusivity, a narrow way that says that it is only Jesus who saves, a narrow way that puts us at variance with the world. To follow the crowd is to go to a lost eternity. Jesus is saying here in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. Many will seek to enter and will not be able to. Make sure you're not lost. Engage in something of spiritual courage. Face the discomfort of the crowd. Follow Jesus. Thirdly, the door requires effort. Some doors are heavier than other doors. Some doors are harder to open. And so we find here that the door is the way in, the door is narrow, but the door requires effort to enter. We are compelled to come to Christ. And Jesus himself, as we come and examine his words of welcome and invitation, uses the language here in verse 24, strive. And mark this word, mark what this word means. The word's original meaning was to compete for a sporting prize. And so the images of an athlete who has trained himself and engages himself with every muscle and every sinew. And it's a train of thought too. It's a mindset. So the entire being of that person is in that race. He's for that finish line. He's for that prize. And he gives himself completely and fully, extending himself as much as he possibly can. It's actually, here, this Greek word, strive, it's actually where we get the word agony in English from. An agony in that race. Pushing every aspect of his being towards that race. Making all the sacrifices that are involved. And so the word became a word that was used to expend energy, to compete, to do our best. And here the language is to strain with every fiber of our being and every aspect of our force to strive to enter in. To strive in this manner and in this way to enter in. And it speaks to us of the reality of our responsibility with regards to salvation. The word used, strive here, is a verb, it's an imperative, it's an active word, a doing word, it's a command. Jesus commands us to do this. He commands us to make every effort, to compete for this, to do our very best, to expend every spiritual energy in this way. Has the door opened for you? Have you entered in this door? Have you done enough to push this door, to push at this door, to ensure that you enter in? I know what I'm dealing with here when I'm saying these things to you. There is an alarming mindset that is fatalistic, that sits back and says, if it happens, it happens. Really? Is that where you're at? After everything you've heard in the gospel, the worst laziness is a spiritual sloth, a spiritual inactivity, when your eternal soul is in danger, and when you're unwilling to do anything with regards to your own responsibility, and what you're holding on to and what you're hiding behind is not the gospel. It's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus teaches, come to me. Come to me. This is what he is saying. Come. Jesus says, ask, knock, seek. Jesus says to come to him. He is inviting you to come. Jesus says, strive. Strain yourself with every sinew in your being. Go to every agony. Do your best. Have you done your best? Are you petitioning the walls of heaven? Are you coming to God on your knees and are you calling on the Almighty and crying to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. Are we doing our absolute best? Are we taking the offer of the gospel seriously? Are we recognizing the urgency? Can't we see that the door is open, but only for a little while? While it's open, you push at it. You pursue this because Jesus is telling us the night is coming when no one can work. This is the day of salvation. And we must do everything we can to strive to enter through the narrow door. At the end of this section, Jesus is going on in verses 29 to 30, and I suppose he's answering a question to some degree. And to the Jew who asked the question, the answer is absolutely shocking. Jesus says in verse 29, people are going to come from east, west, north, and south, and they're going to be in the kingdom. The Jews thought that they were the only ones who were going to be saved. Just like this man in verse 23 who asked the question, he thinks he's okay. And this answer is absolutely shocking. He says the many are going to come from all the nations of the world. They're going to be there with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets. They're going to be there in the kingdom of God from all over the world, the most unlikely of peoples. They're going to enter in. They're going to enter in through the narrow door. They're going to enter in through Jesus Christ. The unexpected are going to be there. Why not you? Why not you? If you would come to this door while you still have opportunity. If you would come and make every effort to turn from your sin, to repent, to exercise faith and trust, to believe, to pray to this God for your soul and its preciousness, to pray for mercy. Jesus turns at the end of verse 23 to the crowd, and he says to them, he's asking, is there anyone here who wants to be saved? Is there anyone here who's seeking the way in? And he is saying, if you are, you strive, you give yourself completely and fully to enter in the right way, the narrow door. Is there anybody here who wants to enter the kingdom? Is there anybody here who wants to be saved? Is there anybody here who can see the preciousness of their soul? Is there anybody here who can hear the urgency of this message? Is there anybody here who is willing to strive and to enter the narrow door? Amen. May the Lord bless our thoughts together. Let's pray together. Gracious and most holy God, we give thanks to you for your kindness and goodness to us as a people, for we have been blessed with the gospel and the reality of the call of the Lord into our souls. We pray that you would grant to us that faith that we need. Help us to trust, encourage us in the way, we pray. Help us to strive with every sinew of our being and every spiritual effort to do our best to compete for this great prize, to run the race that is set before your people. Be near to us, and we pray, and forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing then to God's praise in Psalm 25 on page 29. We'll sing verses 4 to 9. O Lord, reveal to me your ways, and all your paths help me to know. Direct and guide me in your truth, instruct me in the way to go. You are my Saviour and my God. All day I hope in you alone. Remember, Lord, your love and grace, which from past ages you have shown. Do not recall my sins of youth or my rebellious evil ways. Remember me in your great love, for you, O Lord, are good always. Because the Lord is just and good, he shows his paths to all who stray. He guides the meek in what is right and teaches them his holy way. This is Psalm 25 on page 29. We're singing verses 4 to 9, standing to sing, and remain standing for the benediction.
The Lord is just and good. teaches them His holy way.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.